Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. This is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We open things up in the NBA, which has been delivering a lot of talking points recently. But one that will be coming to a close shortly is, can the Lakers make the play-in? That answer is definitively no. I mean, it is not a 100% guarantee, but it's darn near close. The Lakers have lost six in a row. LeBron James and AD available at home versus the New Orleans Pelicans. They dropped that game narrowly, losing by three. They then played Sunday, and they played without LeBron. They battled versus Denver but did not have enough and dropped their sixth in a row. This team, Donnie, feels far, far away from making the play-in when you factor schedule, time, performances, tiebreakers. It really seems now very clear that the Lakers have just four games remaining in their season.
Yes, and it really does. And maybe there's a bright spot here if you're a Lakers fan or a LeBron James fan where you're saying, okay, let's just go out and get a scoring title and head out in the offseason and see if we could just retool the roster. Because I know that you sort of try to pinpoint to say, hey, if the Lakers can get into the playoffs and LeBron James is healthy and Anthony Davis, they can do damage. I'm not so sure that's even the case anymore, because that was the, you know, prevailing highlight that you're saying, if they can just get into the playoffs, maybe they can do damage. But you're talking about games like, I know LeBron James didn't play yesterday. They lose 129 to 118 versus the Denver Nuggets. But Anthony Davis had 28 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. Russell Westbrook actually had 27 points in this game and 10 rebounds. And it doesn't matter. Like, we've seen games where LeBron James and AD come back and go off, and it doesn't matter because the team stinks. You can't just be an NBA team, which you're finding out now. And this isn't the big three that we saw back for the Miami Heat, back when LeBron James was much younger. Let's just play with three really good basketball players, and who cares who else is on this team? You can't do that with the Lakers. Like, this entire team, all the way through from starters to bench, doesn't give you anything. And even when LeBron James shows up with a close to 40-point night, it doesn't even guarantee a victory. When LeBron James used to show up with a 40-point night, that was a 25-point Lakers victory with ease. And now I'm not so sure they can even do that when both of their superstars are having a good night. So maybe it's best for LeBron James to keep off his legs here, play two more games, whatever he needs for the scoring title, and ride off in the offseason and put the ultimatum on the Lakers. You better change things up here or improve this team, or else we're not going to go anywhere. Maybe next year we'll be in the same exact range that we are this year, trying to fight for a play-in spot. Tough look for the Lakers. And months ago, Kevin, never did I think this was going to happen. But now it's a reality.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think this would play out this way. If you would have told me that Anthony Davis was only going to play 39 games, LeBron would only play, to this point, 56, I still wouldn't have thought it would play out this way. But I have to be, and I'm not saying the roster's good, but the roster's not the story. They played 78 games. LeBron and AD have been out there together for 22 of the games. That's less than 30% of the games. But here's the thing. The old man. Everyone said this whole problem with the roster is being too old. AD's 29. It's not the old man that's the problem. No, it's the young star that's supposed to carry the organization on his back when LeBron is gone. And I'm not getting fired up at AD. He doesn't want to be injured. But that's the reality with the Lakers. At the end of the day, everyone can say, it's driving me nuts. Man, this Lakers team is terrible. Man, you're talking about a team that doesn't have LeBron on the floor. Man, this Lakers team is trash. AD's not on the court. I know the rest. Listen, man, they came into the year not worrying about the 11th man on the bench. The radio audience is here. Thanks for joining us. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, The Early Line, Sports Grid Radio. You know the deal. The whole, hey, man, why do you like the Lakers? Ask the people in the room that booked him as one of the top teams in the NBA. You think that it was because of Kendrick Nunn and Trevor Ariza and Wayne Allen? No! It was LeBron and AD. They're not out there together. Again, because AD can't stay healthy. Anthony Davis is narrowly going to play 40 games, and he played less than that last season. Their season ended like... And here's the thing. Devin Booker doesn't have to like it. Chris Paul doesn't have to like it. You don't have to like it. But the facts are the facts. They were eliminating the Phoenix Suns as the seventh seed last year in the opening round of the playoffs. That's real life. That's real life. That's what really was going to happen. But AD got hurt. And they were... Listen... LeBron was injured very quickly into the season. That's what happened. And then by the time he came back, AD was injured. It's what happened. The hard look in the mirror is not putting Russell in Houston, Vogel in Indiana, Pelinka up in the cheap seats. It's figuring out if you ever trust AD to stay healthy ever again. And I don't know how you trust that, Donnie.
That's the only thing you can trust, though, for the Lakers. Like, where do you go from here? Is LeBron James actually going behind the scenes and saying, we got to get rid of AD and get another superstar in here? That can't be it, because usually you're going to win with a big three. It should be keeping AD, hopefully he stays healthy. LeBron James hoping he can have another magical run like he's had this season, scoring the basketball, and maybe adding a Bradley Beal, a Damian Lillard, somebody to help rescue them. But this team was built, and I don't think it was built flawed. It was for LeBron James doesn't need to play every night. Anthony Davis doesn't need to play every night. This bench is full of veteran guys that can be in and out of the lineup on a week-to-week basis and say, here's what I need out of you guys tonight, and they should be able to function. They're not even functioning. Like, we'd usually be arguing about the Lakers in, like, you know, they're only two games over 500 at this point. They are 31-47, which is unfathomable the way it was supposed to be this year for the Los Angeles Lakers.
We'll talk about this more in NBA. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. I want to take up where Donnie just had left off with the Lakers. And then we'll talk a little bit more. The Nets, some very interesting stuff with that team right now. The MVP race may be somewhat settled. And Donnie makes the point that this Laker was supposed to allow LeBron some time off, AD some time off. And he's not wrong about that. But LeBron wasn't supposed to need 20-plus games off. LeBron, even if he did need that, wasn't supposed to leave the roster in Russell Westbrook and Austin Reeves' hands. Anthony Davis was supposed to still be out there, Donnie. He's played 39 games. So you said, is LeBron really going to go backdoor and say, hey, listen, you have to get rid of AD? No. He's legit close with AD. They're clutch clients together. LeBron will leave. LeBron will leave Los Angeles. He's already basically made it abundantly clear he is willing to do so. The question is just where to? Now, I can't guarantee you that's what happens, but you could definitely offer me good enough odds to bet the yes, LeBron will leave. And I'm sure that'll work in hot or nots plenty, but there's a lot of things. Could LeBron want to check a box and play home games in the Garden? Maybe. Could LeBron want to play next to Luka Doncic in Dallas? Possibly. Could LeBron want to go back to Cleveland? He's made that very clear. Could LeBron go nuts and find his way in Brooklyn? Probably not. But if he got Kyrie traded off of that team and played with Durant, it'd be kind of funny. The most likely scenario, Donnie, though, does feel to me like LeBron asks out of L.A.
I don't know. Like, I can't actually see that. Like, let's go through LeBron's career, right? Gets drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, hometown kid coming home. unbelievable player, just can't get over the hump and win a championship because nobody wants to come to Cleveland with him. Says, I have to win a championship. If I'm going to make my way in the NBA in the annals of history here, I need championships. I'm going to go down to Miami. I'm going to join forces with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And we are going to wreck shop here, have so much fun, and do it. And we're going to win championships, right? And you say, okay, I've been there, done that. Let me go make these things right here. Let me go back home. I'm going to go win a title for Cleveland. Made perfect sense here. All right, you know, been there, done that. Nobody's going to hate on me in Cleveland anymore. I came home, did what nobody else could do here, bring a championship to Cleveland. Now I'm going to go out to the Lakers. Yeah, seems like a perfect match. Going out to L.A., you're going to advance your career. You want to be in the, you know, the TV business, the movie business. Everything made sense here, and also win a championship, which he did. So if he says, I want out of L.A., where's the next move, though? Like, what is the move where you go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because him getting drafted to Cleveland, obviously he couldn't pick his spot, but it made so much sense. Young kid going home, as I said. You go to Miami to win championships in a wonderful place to play, great weather and great players, and then you go back to Cleveland, win a championship. You go over to L.A., but it doesn't feel like, hey, LeBron's going to go to Golden State to win another championship. LeBron James going to go play side fiddle to Luka Doncic. LeBron James is going to be like, hey, you know what? Let me just go back to New York City and win nothing with the Knicks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm LeBron James, I should be happy and content where I'm at in L.A., in that market, where I just need to retool this lineup and make another run at it. I can't see him leaving, Kevin, because why? I don't see where it actually makes sense for him to go.
I think those things can become clearer, though. There, because Donnie, here's part of the reason I think it feels so difficult. He's not a free agent. LeBron has never been traded, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, if he's traded, it will be all under his guidelines, but it involves pieces going back. It'll be a very different scenario than to how LeBron typically handles business. And you might say maybe LeBron is too prideful to want out of LA earlier than the contract dictates. But also, you know, this is kind of where we are. Because Don, I think you can fix things around it. You can't fix your co-star only being available for half the games. You can't fix that. He either can play or he can't, and recently AD is suggesting that he can't stay healthy. The Lakers are in a free fall. 31-47 obviously is a very bad record. But the Brooklyn Nets are the same team. I get it. They're two games above 500, and that might be the difference. They just lost to the Atlanta Hawks this weekend in a game that Kevin Durant scored 55 points, his career high, and fell to the 10th seed, Donnie. Again, all season long, the Lakers have been slandered and deservedly so, but the Lakers' odds have reflected that. I mean, they are a gargantuan prices to do anything. The Brooklyn Nets are 10th in the East and are 3rd on the odds board to win the NBA championship.
Makes sense. It really does. And I like the way you leave me hanging there with the next line that OKW was actually going to give back. But I'll carry it from here. I got you. And by the way, I do my research on this. When I'm driving around on Sundays and hear betting above the rim, I heard this same scenario play out. And I think it's very astute by you, Kevin. I really do. Because when I look overall at the picture, aren't we saying just about the same thing as you said?
Yep.
One team can't get out of their way, but they're still hovering in the play-in games as if we just snap our finger and it says, we're going to play as elite as we can possibly be and let everybody know that when we started the season, those same odds should still be there at this time. And I do hear your point. Now, I do think the combination here of a healthy Kyrie Irving and a healthy Kevin Durant is actually better than a healthy LeBron James and Anthony Davis this year. I'm not talking about next year, just for this year right now because of what I'm going to get out of those guys. But they do continue to price one team as if they are a top-flight contender and one that's stepping out. So if you're talking about those 150-to-1 prices here, I don't think the Lakers are actually getting in because the Nets are getting in. So that changes things around. But you're right, though. What are we anticipating? If it was the whole we're expecting the Lakers to make the play-in game and then be tough to knock out the same way that we're viewing the Brooklyn Nets, something doesn't add up because, quite frankly, the West, to me, is a little bit easier to win than the East actually is. So some of these price points that we see on the FanDuel Sportsbook, to me, don't match up. So I think it's a very valid point that you're asking there.
You know, and listen, they've KD's only played 51 games, and I know Kyrie's only played 25. But they did, again, have 44 games. That's a lot. Harden is going to play more games as a Net this year than AD as a Laker. I mean, that's all you really need to know to understand just how bad the AD stuff is. But Donnie, like, I haven't been able to crack down and do the research, Donnie, but I'd make a bet that Kevin Durant is the best player of all time to lose the game he scored his career high in. Like LeBron's out there. When LeBron was dropping the 50 pieces, at least they won the game. They lost to Atlanta with Kevin Durant giving you 55. And by the way, Kyrie chipped in an efficient 31. Patty Mills checked in an 0 for 7. Brother, I mean, come on. They can't defend a lick. Donnie, it's been clear. They need Ben Simmons. Like, that trade, they didn't get back future first rounders. They got back a player that was supposed to be an important piece of their team, and he is not going to play this year. Like, the Brooklyn Nets, Donnie's conversations. Remember when we finally turned the corner on the Lakers, and it was, okay, will they make the playoffs, not can they do damage? Will they make the play-in, not will they make the playoffs, right? The Nets conversation is not will they win the East. It's, Donnie, will they make it out of the play-in? That's the reality around this team right now.
And it's crazy that that's the reality around the team right now, because that's not where it was supposed to be. And I guess this is a season that you were betting on autopilot, if you like the Nets, just expecting them to rise up and eventually, oh, once KD gets back and Kyrie can play home games, here they go. And it hasn't been the case here. Is there one team that was ever more built for a big three than the Brooklyn Nets? Because apparently nobody on the roster can play. And even though you did make that trade, you gave up James Harden, you got some nice bench pieces back in Drummond and also Curry, and that still isn't working here. You can't have, you're right, 55 points and 31 points. The bench has to fill in for something, and that should be an easy victory. The fact that they're losing games where their two superstars are playing well, like the Lakers were doing just a few games ago, that sends a signal to me in the playoffs that maybe it's not going to come together, Kevin, for them.
Yeah, it's a tough spot there. They do have a very, very light 4 games back. KD could probably win them by themselves. Just let Kyrie sit on the bench. He's better off as a part-time player. It turns out. We'll update you on that MVP race as well. Some interesting NFL headlines. And, of course, your Final Four preview. All still here to come on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line here, bright and early on a Monday. NBA action we're going to talk about now. Donnie Wrightside here along with Kevin Wall, Sirius XM channel 159. You know the drill here. Now, a few weeks ago, Kevin, we were talking about the MVP race maybe being done at this point, right? Joel Embiid wrapping it up about minus 190 and climbing, and a straw poll comes out on ESPN and tells us that Nikola Jokic is a real player for the NBA. So let's just fast forward quickly here to Monday morning, April the 4th. Nikola Jokic, minus 310, Kevin.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. Here's the thing, and Jokic is hot right now. I mean, look, he's been great all year. But, you know, we always talk down about how Embiid, right, has the ear to the ground. Like, you can sell me that the joke went, hold on a minute, ESPN did what? Pfft, yeah, let me go and back that up. Like, Donnie, 37-13-9, 38-19-8, 38-18-6 is his last three. Like, and the game before that was 26-19-11. Like, when did that poll come out, Donnie? Like, what are his numbers every game since the poll? Has it just been dominant triple-doubles and 30 points and 20 rebounds? I mean, it's like he knows the deal. Giannis loses a little bit of ground from what he had gained. A home loss to Dallas left a good amount to beat his. I mean, look, he scored 28 and 10, but they lost. And I feel like the Giannis results matter a lot. And then he missed a game versus the Clippers where they basically treated it like a scrimmage. Oh, and there, as you mentioned, Donnie, there's the guy that was favored all year to win the award, Joel Embiid, 44-17 in a win, and it's just like it doesn't even matter.
If the straw poll did not come out, we see like Jokic going off. It almost like it didn't matter at that point because we were all giving the award to Joel Embiid. Now, we would probably be coming on the air today on Monday morning going, Kevin, You just saw the MVP clinch everything up last night. Forget about what Doncic was doing. Did you see Joel Embiid's performance? What a way to cap an NBA MVP season. And we're talking about Joel Embiid being a plus 250 now to win the award, where it seems like Jokic is running away. Fascinating. I know we can't go back in time and change this, but my goodness, if there's any time now we need chaos in our lives to say this straw poll we need to investigate, because it completely flipped the betting structure of the FanDuel Sportsbook here. I'm all for that, because now we see Jokic at a minus 310, and we were viewing Jokic as he's had a good season, but it's Joel Embiid's time. And one simple poll comes out and says, what are you talking about, Joel Embiid's time? It's always been Nikola Jokic. It's fascinating to watch it play out, but now you're seeing him strengthening his odds at a minus 310, even though Embiid had a big-time performance where if we never got the straw poll, we would say how great Embiid is. And maybe next year, Jokic, you can win the MVP award.
It is interesting, though, right? Because the straw poll revealed information that impacted the odds. The opinions, though, right? If those would have all held, Donnie, and Embiid would just minus 200, minus 250, minus 300, it's Embiid's. But the voters are like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, we're giving this thing to Jokic. Like, they have no idea. And people, Donnie, would have been out there with these, like, you know, minus 110, I got in on B just before the wave happened. And it's like, you had no idea. Like, it's almost a good thing, Donnie, that they took the time to do the straw poll to let us all know what was coming. Because this would have been stuck. Like, man, it's a really good point. Like, to exist in a world where the straw poll was never released and what these odds would have looked like. Would Giannis have been able to crash down a little bit harder? Because, like, yeah, I don't know, like, just Jokic still just doesn't feel like the story to me. Like, I could be off base on that. People can disagree. But he doesn't feel like the story of the season.
No, he doesn't. And here he goes, basically, seems like triple-doubles every night. But it's the same thing with Giannis. Like, we talk about the same thing. Like, imagine if this straw poll had come out and they put Giannis as the MVP and Giannis was minus 310. We'd be saying the same things. Like, yes, he's supposed to be the MVP. Do you see his performances? But the fact that Giannis was voted third in that straw poll, it's almost like a Giannis. Unless you go for 50 and 15 every night, we're not even going to move you up in the odds at this point. All three of these guys, and even if you can include Luka Doncic, who's 120 to win the MVP. Can you imagine if Doncic was voted like maybe number two in that MVP race?
Yeah.
It would send shockwaves through the industry. I need to see how this ends up, because we're talking about the way we bet things. And if you're telling me this is the first time, Kevin, that we saw a straw poll actually come out and really knock down the odds, what are we doing next year from a perspective? Does that mean we're waiting on like the quarter poll midway through the season, 75% left, and then maybe the last week that's really going to influence betting markets? Because I need to see this straw poll be completely wrong. And let's just say Giannis does win the MVP award, because that'll put to bed anybody else who bets this betting market for the rest of eternity, because you know what's going to happen next year. We're gamblers. We see it happen. Straw poll comes out with like 15 games to play. We think it's Luka Doncic. An absolute avalanche to the box betting on Luka Doncic, but to be a foregone conclusion, Kevin, that he's probably the MVP.
The thing is, and I'll just try and make this point, is rarely is an award, is the MVP award, Donnie, so up in the air this deep into the season. Even last year, like, it was clearly Jokic. Like, people tried to push the Steph thing. He won the scoring title. Steph won a scoring title, didn't make the playoffs, was given second in MVP. People said he should win MVP. LeBron's going to win a scoring title. Let me not get into all that. The reality is, Donnie, it's not usually – well, I'm just saying, I mean, Donnie, it is true, right? I mean, Steph last year missed the playoffs, won a scoring title, and people were like, I got to tell you, man. I mean, he's just got the greatest player in the history of the sport. LeBron's doing the same exact thing this year. LeBron's doing the same exact thing this year, and people are trying to say LeBron ruined LA. No one needs names. There is one jabroni who keeps writing about how hard it's been on the Lakers since LeBron has shown up and he's really ran this organization through the ringer. You better count your lucky stars, man. You better count your lucky stars. It just drives me nuts. We're not going to get to the NFL stuff today.
Uh-huh. He's going to find them where he left them. Came when they were in the basement, left when they were in the basement. There you go, LeBron.
Good. And they're going to stay in the basement for another decade plus. Because that's what LeBron event will make sure, Don, that you're not going to be good the next year he leaves. That's not happening on LeBron's watch.
Like, LeBron leaves the Lakers. Like, what Lakers jersey are you getting? I mean, that's the people want to know this. Like, you know, you have to continue on that tradition of being a hardcore Lakers fan somehow.
I can't wait. Because then, Don, here's the other thing, too. I get to hit the splash button, all those unfollows on Laker people I follow. I don't need to hear your takes breaking down the Talon Horton Tucker games. No, thank you. Off.
Untouchable. Is he still untouchable, by the way, THT?
Yes, he is, but in the other way is that no one will touch him.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else wants him. It's flipped around, Donnie. It's a tough man.
Untouchable.
Donnie, like, here's the thing, though, right, DRS? Imagine we get to spend the entire offseason. Like, you know how Brady kept, like, marching in on, like, other very important news stories? Like, we're trying to break down the Eastern Conference Finals, and a report comes out, LeBron eyeing up Chicago. And it's just like, yeah, man, we'll get to that Milwaukee game in a minute, man. Did you hear about LeBron's new team? Ooh, that'd be tangy.
Exactly. Just like when A-Rod in the middle of the world, hey, don't break any news during the World Series. A-Rod's like, let me one-up this bad boy. Yeah, I'm opting out of this. Oh, no. Like, LeBron keeps it all the way through the NBA Finals, and he's actually visiting cities as the Finals are going on. Now, that would be something to try to keep an eye on to see where LeBron's going next. Oh, look, LeBron settled on Oklahoma City as his next spot.
Brady's like, hey, man, is it true? Is the bracket this week? Yeah, that'd be a real shame if I unretired. You know what I mean? Like, meanwhile, Rodgers is out there getting scooped by a Russell Wilson trade, being like, you know what? Those trade details aren't correct. Just so I don't know if I really am back. Yeah, enough, Aaron. By the way, you lost Devontae. My goodness, man. It just levels it. Aaron Rodgers is doing his best, man. I mean, we were going to get to NFL stuff. We'll get to it tomorrow. I don't think it's super time sensitive unless they trade DK Metcalf tomorrow, Don.
Yeah.
Which would be
Brady to the Dolphins.
Be pretty funny.
Right before tip time tonight, Brady goes to the Dolphins just breaking in with Adam Schefter. Like, Adam Schefter breaking into the telecast tonight during the national championship game to divert everybody to go to ESPN and watch their, you know, coverage of it. It'll be sensational to watch. You know, it's something wild is probably coming today, typically of the money line. But by the time we get off there, something crazy is going to happen today. No doubt about it.
And I'll mention as well, do check us out, Moneyline, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. So, look, I'll sneak this in real quickly, Donnie, then. Mm-hmm. Patch trade for Devontae Parker. Good move, cheap price. I truly don't think NFL teams have realized that you can build a fantastic roster if you just keep trading fourth and fifth and sixth rounders.
Yeah, because apparently the fourth rounder, third rounder is going to be much better. You ever see the way the New England Patriots draft wide receivers? This is an absolute steal for them. But Donnie's always injured. If you can make a move to upgrade your roster at the wide receiver position where it's going like liquid gold to try to get some of these guys, and basically you gave away what amounts to a fourth round draft pick per se, and also a contract that's under $10 million for a veteran wide receiver, sign me up every single time. Oh man, the Dolphins really won that deal. The Dolphins won that deal? Big time move for the Patriots here to solidify their wide receiver and core and not even spending any money or capital basically doing it, Kevin. Tremendous move.
Yeah, look, their wide receiver core is still terrible, but that's how bad it was. Like, they needed a Devontae Parker. They got him. I'll just add this quickly. There's no way the Eagles actually want to add wide receivers. Like, that can't actually be true. There's no way that you wanted to add wide receivers and came away with Zach Pascal. Final four down to two. Kansas, North Carolina. We preview the game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
National championship time. Kansas, a 4-point favorite versus North Carolina. Big time total, 152. for this game. The Jayhawks have been hot. North Carolina on what feels like a magical run, though I don't know if I've ever seen an eighth seed that feels more justified in being in the final game of the season. Donnie, let's talk. We'll get props. Let's talk side. Let's talk total. Where do you lean for the national championship game?
I think Kansas is the better team. I do. And from the final four, we were analyzing it. I thought Kansas was the better team over Villanova. And you know I like the points with North Carolina in the second game. Both of those worked out. And usually it's the whole take the points and pray, and that's where you should line up because you're getting a mirrored game for me, right? Duke, Kansas, both talented teams. Carolina catching four from Duke ended up beating them outright because they made their free throws. But now you get a Kansas team coming in equally as hot. Is the game going to be decided, Kevin? Which is a shame that it's coming down to this. Because as a handicapper and looking at the game overall, what's the thing that you get nervous for the most? Anticipation of what might happen with an injured player. The reason we're bringing that up here is because Baycott, you saw him go down with an ankle injury. Couldn't even walk off the court. Somehow ran back to the locker room and 3 seconds later ran back on the court as if nothing was wrong. Ended up fouling out in the game. But if you've ever had a sprained ankle before, you know it's not really the time of impact on the sprained ankle. It's the next day when it starts to swell up. Now, you're granted, this isn't me sitting at home with a pack of ice and sitting it on the couch. You're getting world-class trainers getting you ready for the game. And if anybody's ever had their ankle taped before, because most people sprain their ankles playing like a pickup game, you don't really have your ankles taped, right? It feels night and day with the amount of support that you can get on just a mild ankle sprain. So I do think Baycott is going to be able to play, but I'm worried about the effectiveness here. And the reason I'm bringing this up now is because Baycott usually can go unimpeded and play well virtually against anybody. But McCormack's a giant guy playing well that he's going to have to go body to body down low. And the reason we're bringing this up is maybe if you're a guard, you're slowed down a little bit. But when you're a big guy and you're batting on the low block and you're a guy that's getting 15 to 20 rebounds a night like Baycott is, being the centerpiece of that Carolina offense, if he's in a little bit, Kevin, nicked up here, that could be an issue. Looking at the points at the plus four, I think it makes sense. But I do think Kansas is going to win that game. So if I think Kansas is going to win, Kevin, I can't necessarily say to myself, I'm just going to take the points with Carolina at plus four. I like Kansas to win this basketball game. Therefore, I have no choice but to take Kansas at a minus four price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook.
In this spot, then, I'll get to the side in a minute. I really do like the over of 152 in this game. I know it's a championship game. Try and slow it down, feel each other out. Nonsense. You can't slow it down any more than what Villanova did to Kansas. They scored 81. Yeah, I know. That's how good Kansas was in that game. It was the slowest Kansas game since 2016. It was the best offensive performance put up on Villanova from an efficiency standpoint in over 5 years. Kansas has an opportunity to have a drop-off offensively. They scored zero transition points and still have a big game offensively. You're going from a Villanova team that was bottom 12 in tempo, 347 in the country, to a UNC team that's top 40 and will run. And Kansas will gladly run because they're good at it. This game gets back and forth. We talk about getting to spots, right? Both get to 70, both get to 75, and you're going to be able to cash a ticket. I really believe that both of these teams have the ability to run. I think both, you know, sometimes, Donnie, you have a game, you go, listen, it's Kansas for me the whole way, and if you make me pick a side, I'd lean towards the Kansas side. I'd lean toward Kansas in the first half. I think you're going to be able to get the Tar Heels plus 10 in the game. I think it'll stay with inside a number like that. I believe that Kansas will at some point enjoy a big-time lead, and you'll be able to grab some good North Carolina numbers live. But UNC can win this game, Donnie. And that's why I like the over, because I can see both teams touching 80. I can see one of these teams carrying the number. To be honest with you, Donnie, I could see a world where Kansas is just unreal shooting and hits a 90 spot. I'm not trying to, you know, be over the top with it, but that's truly how I see this game. I don't think the 152 is high enough. I'm not scared off by that total. National championship game, I gotcha. I like over 152 in Kansas, North Carolina.
Yeah, we could certainly see it also. And also keep in mind, in that last game where we saw, you know, Kansas and Villanova, that was a snail's pace over the first 5 minutes that was well under the total. And then they picked it up. Why? Because they were raining down three-point shots. Now, a lot of times we talk about the, you know, shooting eye per se, where, hey, you're going into the Superdome here, used to playing in a regular arena. These kids have already been there, done that. It'd be one thing, Kevin, if you watch that Kansas game against Villanova and it was 61-60 and Kansas shot 16% from three-point range but still escaped with a victory. You wouldn't carry that over with yourself and say, hey, they're going to get it together. You'd say the same thing, like, boy, they're really struggling with shooting there, and I don't think it turns around. The confidence is low. The confidence on both of these teams is extremely high. Why? Because they both scored 81 points on a Final Four court where they weren't used to playing there. So what's going to be like, oh, well, they're back to normal here, only shooting 20% from three-point range? I don't see that happening. And also from an outside look at this game, heading into the tournament, North Carolina, 8 seed, not going to do damage, might even get knocked off round one by Marquette. And grading the four seeds here from the top line, and what I'm saying to myself, going, yeah, Kansas, that's a team that's probably going to get checked real early here because we don't think they might even be deserving of a one line. How about them being in the national championship game and being favored now to win a national championship? The money should be there tonight from the three-point line. If they shoot anywhere like they did, talking about Kansas from the previous game, they'll be fine. And also, I like when you take, you know, riding the hot hand. And McCormack is going to play as well as he did up against Baycott, because Baycott is no surprise. Probably if he plays and is healthy and doesn't foul out, he's probably inching between 15 to 20 rebounds as well. You have two very good inside presence, two very good outside games, and the key ingredient here, Kevin, that we missed with the Villanova game, even though it went over the total, is tempo. Both of these teams are tempo. At no point are they going to say, hey, slow it down out here. Let's get into a rhythm. And if the three-point shots are falling down, that 152 certainly is going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm ready for this game to soar. I am super, super excited. And if this game's going to have points, as I'm expecting and sounds like Donnie is as well, then that means there's going to be some good options on some player props here. I'm curious, Donnie, if you've circled any up, but there's one number that I am really still surprised by. Brady Manek over 2.5 threes is minus 120. In this tournament, 5 of 10, 4 for 8, 3 for 10, 4 for 6, 3 of 6. He's 5-0. Are the books really, Donnie, hanging a number where they're like, at some point it's got to miss? Because usually, and Donnie and I bet a lot of three-point props, usually, Donnie, they'll flip it a 3.5 at plus money and really make you pay for it there. Or the 2.5, Donnie, minus 160, and only the real juice layers will be willing to get after it. Minus 120 on 2.5, something he's done every game. I'm surprised that's the price.
Yeah, I am surprised at the price as well, because the market that I like to dip my toes into, which I do think has a lot of plus money on the FanDuel Sportsbook, is to score 20-plus points in the game. Brady Manek is a plus 162 to score 20 points in this game. If he scores 20 points, I got news for you, Kevin. That's at least 5 3-point shots that he's probably going to be able to knock down tonight. So some of these are going to correlate. But as I slide down, there's a lot of guys, because it starts at plus 162. Manek is actually the favorite here at the 20-point range. Plus 178 is, Abaji at, and then if we slide it all the way down, keep going. Baycott plus 260, RJ Davis 375, Braun 550, Wilson 580, Remy Martin 6-1. And then how about this? A plus 630 price on David McCormack after his performance where he just scored 25 points in a slower tempo game. Now, I don't know if that's saying, well, now you got to deal with Baycott down low and you're not going to get, you know, a lot of easy looks like you got against Villanova. I understand that. But if we're also taking a look at Baycott, maybe a little bit slowed, can't double bounce and get those quick rebounds here, can't block shots, or maybe he's in foul trouble. A 630 price on a kid that just went for 25. And if you're Bill Self, there's no way you're going into this game going, all right, that's great, McCormack. You got one of your best games you ever played, but we're going to look more towards the guards in this one. Look for a big night out of McCormack tonight, and a plus 630 price to get to 20 points seems insane to me at this point. Nice price.
McCormack's straight number is 11.5 over in both of the games. Flew past the number, certainly in the last one. His rebound prop is 7.5. He's not hit that with great consistency, though he did great at last game. You could certainly argue, though, that they've been trying to keep him healthy because he's, you know, and keep him kind of in check. Tonight, last game of the year, senior, you know, you're going out on the sword, right? More minutes, 11.5, 7.5 boards, all of that makes sense. The Kansas prop for me, Donnie, is Abaji over his listed points prop at 16.5. Gave you 18 versus Miami and gave you 21 on outrageous shooting versus Nova. This is a big-time player. That's sometimes what it comes down to me when we're talking about the college game, and that's exactly what Agbaji is, and we know that. You know, you think back, you know, when we were in Madison Square Garden, right, and we had the Duke-Kentucky and the Kansas-Michigan State game, 29 points, and he set the tempo then for this team, and that's continued to be the case. Baylor gave him 18 one time and then 27 in the loss. He's stepped up. He's stepped up all year long, and at 16.5, it's part of the reason why I think you see him as the favorite in the you know, plus 125 range for player of the tournament, because he has the highest numbers. I think he goes over the numbers, and they're favored to win the basketball game. I think Agbaji has himself a really good night here, and I think 16.5 is a totally, totally solid number there. Donnie, now Baycott, they don't have his rebounds listed, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Points is listed at 14.5, even money under. Do you think people try and bet Mondo under his totals and think that maybe injury or bad play could be in their favor?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And I think it's the only way to play it out, because I know you can say, see, I told you he wasn't injured. But is anybody in their right mind actually looking to focus on Baycott at this point with a sprained ankle? He should be able to play, yeah. And you'll see him running around in pregame. But you never know how it's actually going to hold up. So anytime a player is injured, I'm completely off. Not to say, Kevin, I would bet against him, but there's no way I'm looking to bet any overs with Baycott tonight. And if he ends up with a 15-point night and a 20-rebound night on a bad ankle, he's probably going to take down MOP as well if Carolina wins at all.
Another number to check out, Christian Braun, plus money over 2.5 dimes in this tournament. 4-4-2-4-5. So he's cashed this in all but one, landed two. I've said this before, even when we're betting NBA. I had a Tobias Harris one the other day. A 2.5 assist prop in a game that has a 152 total is fantastic. Like, Christian Braun doesn't have to be a great playmaker. He just has to drop it off to the right guy, hit the right shooter. 2.5 dimes at plus money for Christian Braun really, really does jump off of the page. Just to give you some where other these key guys sit there. Caleb Love, 16.5 points. RJ Davis is 13.5 points. Remy Martin as well, Donnie, is a guy we haven't talked a lot about. 11.5 points. He was not really a part of the story versus Nova, but he had been a big lead up to this tournament. Remy Martin's another guy to watch, certainly, in this game.
No, sir, and there's a lot of other fun prop bets as well here. First player to knock down the first triple of this game tonight,
wow.
Kevin. Nice little market on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Caleb
Brady
Love,
Manic,
the favorite at plus 340. Exactly. How about throwing these two down, one from each side? How about taking Manic at a plus 370 price and then going to Agbaji at a plus 380 price? So one of those two guys knocks down the first three. You get a nice profit in this game, but there's a lot of fun ways to bet this game tonight. You don't have to get in and say, I'll just take a side or a total. A lot of live betting opportunities, and also first three ball of the game, which three balls, you know, me and Kevin know something about.
Where's this 3x2 at, man? Plus 180? Could it be? A national title, 3x2?
Boosted?
Boost. Tell you what, if you boost it, I'll bet it. Otherwise, I'm going to protest.
No matter what.
I'm going to protest against the 3x2.
Yeah.
But if they boost it like plus 300, now we're having some fun. Listen Up is next. Closing out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Monday on the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, and we held it down from 7 to 9 a.m. before we handed over to the morning after, and Ben Stevens, I will be there for the first hour. But this is a big-time week here. The smell of spring is in the air. Why? Major League Baseball is finally on deck, and you need to listen up. So many big things going around right now. Well, the weather certainly isn't one of them here in the Northeast, as it's still frigid conditions, but Major League Baseball is that rite of passage to spring. Yeah, we had to wait maybe an extra week here with the lockout, but it's going to be okay, people. Thursday starts Major League Baseball with the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I can't wait for it. Best part about that as well is Moneyline will be on live during first pitch, which is sensational. So many different things take up our mind frame here in April, right? Finally getting to spring. Tonight, we have the NCAA basketball championship tonight between Kansas and North Carolina. You also have a Thursday start, just like in Major League Baseball. The Masters is starting up. Will Tiger Woods play? Will he not play? Fantastic stuff to watch. And also a little bit later in the month, turning our attention here to the NFL draft. But let's get back to Major League Baseball and why this is great. Everybody on opening day, including you, Pittsburgh Pirates fans, feel like you can make a run to the playoffs and win a World Series, and then probably 48 hours later, realize you are the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're not going to go anywhere. But having said that, it's still wonderful. It's the pageantry. It's opening day. It's the parade in Cincinnati they have each and every year. It's the way Major League Baseball tips this one off, and good on Major League Baseball for not going with like an opening night with one game. You go with 9 games on opening day, and then everybody fills in the very next day on a Friday, heading off to a sensational sports weekend. I can't wait for it. It's something I look forward to every single year. Major League Baseball opening day on Thursday. Can't wait to get after it. Sports Grid, you know, guys, we got you covered here. But also, keep in mind, Ben Stevens in the Morning After coming up next right here on The Grid. You know who's making another guest appearance in the first hour? Your boy, DRS.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.